Looks like Joe Biggs just got suspended. You want to see the video that got him suspended? I can't even play the end of it because it got cut off while I was recording it.
And guess what? There's too many people out here going, oh, I got to come to Cash and Alexis says defense. No, you don't. Cash Patel is a grown man. He wanted to be the director of the FBI. He was nominated. This is not about whether or not Cash Patel as a person or a human being is nice or been kind to you. We are fighting for America, and guess what? He doesn't have what it takes. He doesn't have the balls to stand up to the corruption. I guarantee you when him and Bongino came in there after years of talking bad about the FBI, a folder was laid down in front of each one of them, and they got scared. And the swamp creatures within the FBI, the deep state, they looked at him and go, look, you're a figurehead, that's it. It's going to keep going the way it's going to go. Now, at this point in time, you have two decisions to make. Do I stand up against the deep state and I take those arrows and I get over the target and I do the right thing and maybe get burnt in the process of burning it all down to the ground? Because that's what you said, Cash. You said that if you got in there, that you were going to bring it all down. You also were making fun of Ray and saying that Ray shouldn't be using his plane to go flying all over the place doing all the shit that he's doing. But here you are, Cash Patel, flying all over the place, a booze full of or a box full of booze, going to Vegas, going to see your sensation of a country music singer girlfriend that no one's ever heard of. But guess what, everybody? Cash is nice and Alexis is nice, and I've met them before and they're really nice. I don't give a how nice you are. We are trying to save this country and you're being fake and gay. I don't care about your feelings. This is not a job about whether or not you feel good. This is a job. This is a wartime job. We are occupied by a foreign nation. Our Congress, our Senate are all taking money for the most part from AIPAC. Israel controls everything. The second in command, basically, in our country, Susie Wiles, ran fucking Bibi Netanyahu's campaign. Who do you think's giving Trump all this shit? Why do you think this go around is so much different than the last? Because we went from America first to MAGA, please. Making Israel great again. That's all we see are our politicians. Why are our state politicians, why are governors sitting around at these events with 90 Israeli flags all over the place saying, I stand with Israel, and one American flag back in the corner? So guess what? If you don't have the balls to bring it down like you said, stand down. Move over. You and Bongino have both destroyed your legacy. You spent all these years talking shit about how you're going to bring it down and about how all this corruption's in there and that you've got the receipts, the criminality's been taking place, and that you could, you're so mind blown that charges aren't being brought on these individuals. But now you're at the helm. Now there's no more excuses, and you still aren't bringing charges. Oh, we're making public announcements. We're going to indict somebody. Shut the f*** up. Day one, January 20th, 2021, Joe Biden took office, put his hand on the Bible, swore in. Guess what he did? The FBI came to my house and took me to jail. It doesn't take time to build shit. It takes the f***ing balls to do it. And Cash, you ain't got them. You talked a big game. Bongino, you talk a big game. You both like to run your f***ing traps all the time. But you ain't got the f***ing balls to do the actual job. So stand down, resign, and let someone come in there that has it. Let Kyle Serafin come in there. Let Garrett O'Boyle. Let Steve Friend. Let all these other guys that stood up and actually exposed the corruption and actually know how the FBI works, come in there and dismantle it the right way. Because you guys do not have the intellectual capacity to do it. You don't have the f***ing balls to do it. And quite frankly, you're just too scared.
So that was a video Joe Biggs put out on X, and then he had his account suspended, I guess. That is the reporting from Matt Baker. So I wanted to show that and encourage anybody out there to tag Elon Musk and encourage Joe Biggs to get back on X to unsuspend him. It may have been an intense video, but he's absolutely right about everything he said. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So there's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. Third hour is on. I'll go out to your phone calls here momentarily. One more video before we do. Clip number 12. This is this was the mood in New York City after the victory of Mamdani yesterday. Let's watch.
We're done hiding. We're done. We're done being tortured and hurt and judged. This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be a part of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah. Worthy of worship except Allah, the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, and the God of the last and final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
So they understand. They understand they're in war. They understand they're trying to take the country over. And it's just entirely up to us if we have the will to exist or not. If the West has the will to continue on, then we can defeat these people with ease. If we don't, then we'll go away. It's entirely in our hands now. It's up to us whether we feel like recognizing and confronting the threat or whether we just resign ourselves to the dustbin of history. I know which side I'm on. I'm just wondering, where do we muster? Where do we muster? Let's go out to your calls now. Godzilla in Wisconsin is first on the list. Go ahead, Godzilla. You're on the air.
Yeah, can I make a product plug real quick?
Yeah, please.
So I purchased the trench knife from you guys. I'm a knife and blade and weapons collector. And it's a fantastic knife. And I was wondering about the price, and I found the same company, great company. I won't name it, but it's a great, well-known knife company. And they sell it for the same price as you guys are selling it. So it's kind of nice that, you know, you get to buy a quality product and also fund what you guys are doing. And you guys are always providing original, wild content every day. So I appreciate it. But yeah,
Thank you very much. And just to let you know, we do have this new knife collection, these four new knives. There's the trench knife he's talking about. That one is a knife. That one makes you want to punch something when you're holding it. That's a very cool one. And that's on sale, almost half off there on thealexjonesstore.com. The new knives, the quick release blade, the ring blade, the orange folding blade, and the phantom folding knife are all, you know, just as high quality, absolutely incredible, super, super sharp. And not only are they, you know, a very good price by themselves, if you're a VIP, there's an extra discount on them. So join the VIP club. It's $30 to join. You get $40 to spend on the store, and you get big discounts on some of the best products like these new knives, including the ring knife, the quick release knife, and the phantom folding blade. All of those, you actually get an additional, you know, $10, $12, $13 off if you're a VIP member. So make sure to check that out. Thank you for the plug, my friend, but that's not why you called in.
Yeah, well, one more thing real quick. It's a really nice length, too, you know, because you want the blade long enough that it can, like, puncture the lung and get into the organs and stuff. But anyway, I think with the Mamdani communist Islamic victory in New York, I think next up, looking in the cards and looking in history, what happens is that there's going to be a fascism movement coming to New York. Like Mussolini said and others said, you know, fascism follows communism like bada bing follows bada boom, you know, and other people have said that too. And then I don't know if you're familiar with Austrian philosopher and economist Hayek. He said, you know, fascism is the stage after communism when the illusion fails. So, you know, that being said, you know, it's not something obviously I want, but looking around at who's going to be the characters down the road, you know, I'm concerned, you know, about Nick Fuentes. You know, he could be rising to power. He's a rising star, different characters. And I think that we should kind of see down the road and try to find who's going to be those type of leaders so we don't have some radical person, you know, get in. And, you know, I think you guys or Joan should find him a nice girlfriend that kind of amps him up and supercharges him, because I think he needs some testosterone boosting and stuff. And that, I think that would be a good idea. And, I, you know, obviously the best thing to avoid it is if Trump fights back and, you know, he, there's a lot of options he can do to prevent, you know, communism from spreading, because obviously it's going to be an absolute disaster with the policies that he's putting, that Mamdani is putting in, because, you know, it's already so bad over there, and it's just going to get progressively worse with the crime. All the rich people are already leaving, you know, real estate prices in the surrounding areas of New York have already spiked up to 18%. They're calling it the Mamdani effect in New Greenwich and surrounding areas, you know, Connecticut and such. So, yeah, I wanted to ask you real quick, though, as a question, is do you think it would be a more efficient and more humane choice nonviolently just to take over these cities that are already weakened by their poor leadership, Chicago, New York, L.A., and just take them over militarily by force while we're still in power? Or should we just let them collapse and, you know, cause undue human suffering? Kind of like a new crusade, but interior.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think that the federal government does have a responsibility to step in places like Chicago and L.A., and I think, you know, removing their leadership and putting somebody new in really isn't even the worst idea. I mean, I think when you've got, you know, the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, basically asking to be arrested, Trump has said he would arrest Mamdani if New York Police Department wasn't allowed to cooperate with ICE, which, I, you know, I guess so. I guess we want that. I mean, it's better than having a city that's collapsing or failing or crime-ridden. So I think that's possible. I mean, like you said, you know, fascism has always been a response to communism. Anywhere it's come up, it is because the communists are gaining power and there's a fascist response to it. It never goes the other way around. So that's absolutely true. And, you know, I guess the irony of all of this is that somebody said it today in a response to Ted Cruz, where Ted Cruz was going, oh, this looks really bad. And like, we, you know, maybe said something like, we look like we're the, you know, Weimar Germany or something. And, you know, what comes next is really terrible. And the person responded like, yeah, you know what also Weimar Germany had? It was a bunch of feckless, you know, loser politicians that didn't do what was necessary to stop the collapse and, in fact, paved the way for Hitler. So if you don't want Hitler, you have to do something. You have to actually improve the lives of the citizens so they aren't looking around for a savior. It's like, this is so obvious. It's so incredibly obvious. Same thing we say with, you know, Israel. When it's like, oh, the rising anti-Semitism, it's like, all you have to do is not be slaves to Israel. Like, it's very easy to stop the momentum in its tracks by fulfilling the role that you are now in. Like, it's really not that complicated. If the Republicans, if that's their fear, which it seems to be the overriding fear, they seem a hell of a lot more concerned about the radical right than the radical left, even though it's the radical left that are killing them, which is completely absurd, but that is the case. And they aren't doing anything to actually stop the far right from rising. because the far right only rises when the center right fails to achieve their objectives, fails to give the citizens anything, fails to uphold the promises that they made on the campaign trail. That's when you're going to get the desperation that leads to the extremism. What they have to do is take all of the power we have already given them and actually give us something in return, show us that the ship is being righted, and nobody's going to be going to look for, you know, the Hitler 2.0 to set things right, or the Mussolini 2.0 or the Franco 2.0. But when the politicians we send to office twiddle their thumbs and send $10 billion to Israel and then pat themselves on the head, what do you expect to happen? And like, these are two headlines that were literally one after the other. And I think they, you know, go a long way to explain, just there to illustrate the absurdity of our modern world. The first one is this: Wall Street bonuses expected to be the highest in 4 years, consultancy says. Wall Street bonuses expected to rise for the second year as traders and investment bankers are surging deal volume and market volatility, according to financial compensation consultancy Johnson Associates. Okay, Wall Street bonuses highest in 4 years, followed by American household debt hits record high. Okay, middle class, lower class cannot pay their bills, but Wall Street is getting record bonuses. If those two headlines, one after the other, don't tell you the problem in America and that inequality always precedes civilizational collapse, you should probably have a good understanding of the trouble that we're in. Thank you for the call, Godzilla. Let's go to Timothy in the USA. Timothy in the USA, you're on the air.
How's it going, Harrison?
Good, thank you.
I call in from time to time, and I kind of rail on the fact that, like we're all focusing, the national conversation's focusing on the identity politics. And, like, I used to be a liberal, right? But I became right-wing because the right-wing cared actually about human rights, right? That's the only separation between the two, I think, is that the right-wing cares about human rights to the point where they're going to try to do something about it. But ultimately, there's still the identity politics back and forth, right? And that's going to go on until the end of time. And the fascism that's going to grow behind this is because of all of the clash of civilization that's going to happen. And it's all weaponized. I suggest you bring on, there's a guest that you should probably listen to. His name's Walter Vieth, V-I-E-T-H. Okay. And in his documentary or his lecture, The Red Palpacy, he talks about the fact that Islam and the Vatican are basically co-equals to this seat that the Shriners sit on. It's ruled by the Shriners, bro. So what we're doing is that we're members of a corporation just doing what we're told, right? We're getting orders, we're getting stimuli, and we're basically just facilitating that, right? And the only real way, and I've studied this, you know, I have, the only way to get past all of this is to focus on what they did to you, Harrison, is that you have nanotech in you now, don't you?
Apparently.
Yeah. I think that's the scariest thing that we're all facing. It's not the invasion, bro. It's the invasion that already happened. We're all live. We have nanotech in it. And if we're going to actually escape this paradigm, this because that's literally what it is, man. We're just feeding into what they want. If we're going to escape it, we have to focus as a collective, not necessarily as a, you know, a communist collective or a hive mind, but we have to put forth so much effort to focus on that one issue alone that we're going to get all of the people that are sitting on the fence, because I hate to tell you, Harrison, the identity politics conversation ugly, no matter who's saying it, bro, no matter who is saying it. Okay, it's been turned so ugly these days that nobody wants to hear it anymore. We all have fatigue. And when you brought on the guest who was talking about the nanotech, that right there was groundbreaking. That should have been, but you yourself are so conditioned in this that you went on for 15 minutes about some Afghanis raping some woman or some girl. And I know that's horrible and horrendous and stuff, but that's the stuff that they want us to focus on, is that criminality, while they get away with what they're actually doing, which is uploading everybody with the nanotech, because then the fascism is going to show up in the police state, the internet of bodies, and then there will be no escape. Then we're all equal again. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, I
appreciate you letting me talk.
No, I think you have a point, but it's like I said earlier. I mean, I think about this as, you know, like a like a real war. And, you know, if people don't have money, if they don't have jobs, then they're not going to have money. If they don't have money, they're definitely not going to have extra money. Then they're not going to have anything to contribute to the political causes. Like, Americans being replaced by Indians by the tens of thousands, that hampers our ability to fight the nanotech. Do you get that? Like, if we don't have the authority, if we don't have the power, if we're not in the positions that we need to be in, that's why these things get passed, because people who believe the opposite of us are the ones in charge. So, it's one thing if it's identity politics, in that you're voting for the person that you're voting for because they're the identity that they are, and the ideas don't matter. That is certainly the case with a lot of the votes that happened yesterday. But there's a difference between that and, like, recognizing that replacement migration is going on, and that it's actually an attack that is part and parcel with the nanotech attack, or the, think about, what they tried to achieve during COVID, how they failed because we stood up, because we protested. I can't remember who it was. I think it was yesterday, maybe Ian, one of the Ians was saying that, or the day before, was saying that, it was the trucker protest that really stopped all of the increasing, COVID restrictions. The trucker protest in Canada was very impactful on that. Well, what happened following that? The trucker industry was targeted for H-1B usurpation, and now there's 10,000 Indians driving trucks on the road, crashing and getting CDL license illegally, and they're disenfranchising the white truckers who showed that they would stand up against tyranny. So, to say that identity politics is a distraction, or that it's, not a winning message, it's part and parcel with all of it. If you want people to stand up against the tyranny, then you need those people to have jobs, and you need those people to, be able to subsist and support a family. And if their jobs are being outsourced to people who have no history, no heritage of liberty, try to sell, small government in Hyderabad or whatever. Nobody cares. They don't have that. They don't have that heritage. They don't have that history. They don't have that instruction in school. It doesn't matter to them. So that's why they're being brought over. So it's like, it's not that it's like a white people, I want white people to have jobs. It's like the people who are trying to enslave us are giving our jobs away to people who are more easily able to be enslaved. That's why this is all happening. And like, there's a story I haven't even covered today. American Airlines conducts layoffs as carrier reports recent loss. American Airlines announced Tuesday it's laying off a small number of its staff, a move it says will optimize its performance and improve efficiency. The airline reported a net loss of $114 million in the third quarter, despite a revenue of $13.7 billion. And basically, American Airlines got this Indian CEO that is just now offshoring all of their jobs to India. And this is just happening. It's not American Airlines anymore. It's Hyderabad Airlines. American Airlines is slashing thousands of jobs, with employees left heartbroken as their roles are shifted to India. American Airlines has reportedly started a massive round of layoffs, targeting thousands of employees in middle management across multiple departments, including airport operations, engineering, and customer support and IT services. News of the latest layoffs of the Dallas-based carrier emerged Monday afternoon as employees showed up for work, only to have their security passes confiscated before being unceremoniously escorted out of the airline's offices and airport concourses. So, like, I'm against that. I'm against a American industry leader abusing their employees because they can pay Indians slightly less for the same work. And the end result of that is now we have thousands and thousands of high-paying American jobs that no longer exist. And that money's not remaining in our economy. It's being shipped to India. And those people with those jobs are going to have to probably go get a lower-paying job in a position that they're, not trained for and haven't worked for their whole lives. Now, is it identity politics for me to say it's bad that this is being offshored to India and that it's part of, a characteristic of these Indian CEOs that they seem to prefer their co-ethnics and will do things to benefit India and hurt America because they have loyalty to India and don't actually uphold American values? You can call that identity politics, but it's absolutely the truth, and our enemies understand that and are weaponizing it and using it as a weapon against us. So to ignore that or to not combat that isn't to be elevated above it. It's simply to ignore the attack that is, in fact, damaging you. One long-serving American airline employee wrote, "I was one of the IT people that got laid off. I worked there for 37 years and was given my notice in February. There are reports that American Airlines is looking to shrink its total workforce by 4 to 5%. With a current workforce of around 132,000, that can mean between 5,000 and 6,600 job losses." Okay? And we have, you know, the information about this. There's a Reddit thread of the American Airlines employees talking about the pivot to India. This one says, I was one of the IT people that got laid off. I worked there for 37 years and was given notice in February. They're doing it in waves. Yes, the jobs were either dissolved or moved to a new Hyderabad office. These are management and staff non-union positions. Somebody says India, and he says, yes, Hyderabad in India. AA, American Airlines, opened a large IT office there. It's the brainchild of Ganesh Garayam, the CIO. He came from John Deere and did the same thing to them. Also, the manager of the new office was at GE and did the same thing to them. So you've got these Indian CEOs and CIOs and executives just jumping from company to company, increasing the stock prices, increasing the returns to investors, increasing the, you know, how it looks on paper, but doing it by systematically eliminating American jobs and offshoring them to their home country. Is that identity politics? Maybe we need somebody to protect American jobs, and specifically white American jobs, from this racial looting that's obviously going on. Rare Gary on X writes, "Unsurprising, American, in quotes, airlines is another company riddled with Indian executives, which have been aggressively engaging in nepotistic offshoring. Maybe they can rename it to, you know, Vaishnapara Airlines or whatever." Ganesh Garayam is the executive vice president, chief digital and information officer. Anchal Gupta is the senior vice president and chief technology officer. Am Maniyar is the vice president, infrastructure of operations. Chandra Vijhala is the president of the tech hub in India. Madhava Raju Chamarthi is the director of the airlines operations technology. And Chana Ram is the director of IT. Prashanth Pasupuleti is the engineering man. I mean, it just goes on and on, right? So basically, every C-suite position in American Airlines has just been one by one given over to Indians who are now offshoring the high-paying executive and IT jobs that used to be, you know, used to, you know, be the income for families in Dallas. Well, they'll now be offshored to Hyderabad and never return. So, you know, identity politics as such, you can hate, you can love, it doesn't matter. The reality is identity is a core component of the human experience, and it's white men versus the world. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is. And I really can't explain it any more than that. As Geiger Capital put it, as a result of the election in New York City yesterday, white men are the only group in New York City that did not vote for Zoran Mamdani, literally white men versus everybody else. So whether it's white men, white women, black women, Latino men, Latino women, or all the others combined, white men were the only ones that didn't vote for Zoran Mamdani. They still voted for him to 43%, don't get me wrong. And there's still 43% of white men that have been castrated, deracinated, and cucked. But if you think that race and ethnicity has nothing to do with this, then you're not paying attention to the people that are doing it to us, who seem to consider their identity and their ethnicity the supreme thing about them.
I'm funded by you. You want to know who funds this operation? You, the viewer, you, the listener. We got like a gold sponsor, and that's it. I could have a bunch of sponsors, but then I got to check it. I got to mess with it. And then they come after our sponsors. So about 14 years ago, I said, we're getting rid of sponsors, as a lot of you saw. And I'm like, we'll just sell the best supplements. We'll just sell the widest selection of stuff. And we're already selling DVDs and films and books and, you know, T-shirts and ball caps. But I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. So we just go out and find whatever the top certified best-selling thing is, already proven, triple tested. We sell it in a private label. But we've also made a lot of great proprietary supplements as well. So you're missing out if you don't go to thealexshowstore.com that I don't own. So even if they shut down InfoWars, which is imminent, people are going to wake up and go, well, God, it really happened. Yeah, there's a receiver in there. He just hadn't decided to shut down yet. Close. They don't own thealexshowstore.com. It funds the Alex Jones Network. It funds this operation and has the widest selection of T-shirts, hats, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, a lot of it limited edition. We have the classic 1776 gear, we have the Trump gear, we have the InfoWars gear, we have the Alex Jones gear, we have the comedy gear, we have a lot of fun shirts, Gulf of America shirts, we have InfoWars veteran shirts, veterans of the InfoWar. It's all there. Fundraiser shirts that cost a little bit more, so we actually get some funds in because these are high quality. The markup's not very high. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got our Holy Wars Crusader line. All very, very politically incorrect. Not all the America First stuff. It's all there. The widest selection. TheAlexJonesStore.com. There's 30 days that started a few days ago of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales. 25% off site-wide on all top products, everything, including on top of the sales that are already there. All supplies last could end at any moment for specific items that sell out. Here's what's on sale now. Ultra Methylene Red about to sell out. All supplements, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, all shirts, hats, hoodies, plus 50% off any supplement when you sign up for auto ship. You cancel any time. Never run out. Hold it back for 50% off in the future, even when it sells out for everybody else. Cancel any time. Alex Jones signature blades are in now. Knives I went out and found and thought were the best and got at low prices. They'll sell out fast. Choose from a collection of incredible blades. All supplies last. VIP membership. Anybody buying anything should be a VIP member. Just at checkout, pay $30 and get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Get 40% credit in the store each month instantly. Number one way to support a broadcast. 80% reorder on our supplements. Nobody else has that. That's how good they work. We support you and fight for freedom together. You support us together. We are changing the world. Stock up now, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you. We can't do it without you. You are the tip of the spear, and I salute you all.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. I gotta say, we started this hour off showing a video from Joe Biggs that apparently got him banned off of X. He was criticizing Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, although we didn't get to see the end of the clip because as Matt Baker was recording it, it was censored and deleted off. So I'm not sure what he said that was so offensive, but apparently this is happening more and more. Our good friend Chris Paul apparently had his account deleted. All he ever did was upload clips of InfoWars. So I really encourage you all to go follow Chris Paul at NotInfoWars1984, N-O-T-InfoWars1984, at NotInfoWars. Go follow him, because basically all he did was upload clips of me and Alex in the War Room and the American Journal with Brandon Morello, and apparently got his account suspended. Your account, InfoWars1984, is reported and has been suspended for violating the rules against authenticity, which is very bizarre. He's got his name on it, and he just was uploading, you know, videos that I would always retweet. And I didn't realize till just now that he apparently had his account deleted. So I encourage you to go follow him and tag Elon Musk and ask him to unban InfoWars 1984. But in the meantime, please follow at NotInfoWars1984. is a major supporter of this show, and we really encourage all the hard work he does. And folks, if you ever want to clip out a part of this show or go to band.video and download the video, you can get a high quality download directly from band.video. You can cut it yourself, upload it yourself, and I'm happy to retweet it. Hopefully you won't get banned, but you could actually build quite a bit of a following if you're good at it. So I, of course, encourage you to support all the people that do that. With that, we go back out to the calls. By the way, in case you're wondering, I've got these four beautiful knives out in front of me. This is the newest collection of knives from thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com has just presented the Signature Blade Collection. The lineup is rugged, reliable, and folders engineered for real-world demand. Reliable folders is what it says. Each model combines premium steels, secure locks, and ergonomic grips for unmatched performance in the field, at work, or on the go, all chosen for everyday carry in mind, and Alex Jones' personal signature laser-etched onto them. They come in this beautiful gift box as well. They'd make a fantastic present for the Info Warrior in your life, the Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife, and the Alex Jones Ring Blade Knife, as well as the Alex Jones Quick Release Blade. All of these would make fantastic everyday carry knives. They are extremely well-crafted, well-made, and affordable. They're all on discount now at thealexjonesstore.com, and you get an extra $10 to $14 off depending on the knife you choose if you are a VIP member. So sign up as a VIP member. It costs $30 a month, but you get $40 instantly as in-store credit. You can apply it to the cost of that knife and get an extra $10 to $12, $13, $14 off depending on which knife you get. You get an extra discount if you're a VIP member. Just another bonus, another reason to join at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Now we go to Bregan in Wisconsin. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Bregan, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. My wifey likes to give both you and I a little bit of BS about our shop teacher glasses, which are the same, but that's not why I'm calling in.
My wife loves these glasses.
I like having glasses that don't get wrecked when you're reading and you fall asleep. So, but I wanted to talk about strategic relocation, and big shout out to all the Wisconsinites like Godzilla, and there's a guy named Mac and a guy named Max and various other people. But there are tons of cheeseheads that love you as much as Texans do. Anyway. So strategic relocation, I bought that way back with Joel Skousen.
Yep.
I have the book, I have a DVD. I had to replace the DVD because it was not given back to me. And I had to buy two copies of Endgame because, you know, you don't normally get back what you want. Anyway, when Alex was talking about the quickening, back in, let's say, 2012, people said, yeah, the quickening, yeah. Even Gerald Celente was on board with that. And now we're looking at, here's the end around of the quickening. And it is now what we were told. And it is not the quickening anymore. The quickening is already here. So I wanted to mention to your listeners strategic relocation and Captain James Wesley Rawls, retired Army intelligence officer who never shows a current photo of himself, never says where he lives, and I wouldn't either if I were him. And the books, I think, were in the store at Infowarsstore.com and maybe still in AlexJonesStore.com. Anyway, the point being that we moved out of the Berkeley of the Midwest, namely Madison, Wisconsin, and 2 years ago. And that was because of Alex, really.
Alex, so you did. You strategically relocated.
Yeah, so I'm surrounded by the most freshwater lakes on the face of the planet right now. And so is it easy to get from here to there without going around 10 lakes? No, but
that's what you want. But that's what you want. I got to say, I mean, I've always said that it's worth it to stay and fight as long as humanly possible. I think part of the psyop that has led us to this point is this idea that the right wing has to always run away. If your school's teaching something you don't like, you better homeschool. If your city's doing something you don't like, you better leave. And I've always, you know, taken the tack of like, does the left leave? Does the left abandon their post when things go against them? No, they double down. And if the school's not liking something you're doing, you got to take the school over. I mean, that's the tactic I always promote. Seeing the way things are going now, I'm projecting down the line, and I'm like, all right, if Trump doesn't do what's necessary and the Democrats get into power, like, I'm not exaggerating. And we know that these people aren't joking when they say they're going to do what they're going to do. Trump right now is talking about getting rid of the filibuster, mostly because the left wants to get rid of the filibuster. If they have no filibuster, if they pack the Supreme Court, I mean, there's no limit to what they can do. And obviously, their constituents are going to go along with it. There's no restricting energy from the constituency on the left, right? The left says, hey, we're just going to, you know, we're going to do a roundup. I mean, they're already gathering all of our information, geofencing, and from Arctic Frost, we know they're gathering up the cell phone data and the bank data and who goes to church. And I mean, they already have all that data and they're compiling it. You really think if the left, you know, came out and said, everybody who supported Trump is a white supremacist, all white supremacists are terrorists, now we're going to use all these, you know, rules and laws and precedents that Trump set. I mean, that's why I don't like Trump doing things like blowing up the boats in Venezuela. It's like, what is the point of that? What are we gaining from that? Is that really the best way to do it? Is that even worth it? I mean, even if I was in charge, if ostensibly the reason it's happening is because they're bringing drugs over, okay, bomb one, maybe two boats. From then on, those boats know they're going to get bombed if they get caught. So from then on, all you need to do is like light them up with a spotlight from a helicopter and be like, abandon ship now or you're going to get bombed. And then you could not just stop the drug flow trade. You could arrest the people rather than killing them. You could question them. You could use them as hostages to try to get leverage on the other people doing it. You could actually, you know, seize the stuff and do all sorts of things with it. But just blowing up the boat, all you're doing is setting a precedent that now anywhere in the world, if they declare you a terrorist, even if you're not committing terrorism, but doing something else that's illegal, like transporting drugs, they can drone strike you from the air. Like, this is insane. And if the leftists get power in America, you can see, I mean, look at how they're acting and they're not even in power. Look at the way that they're talking and they are supposedly out of office and should be on the run. They're not. They're basically pointing at us and going, next time we're in office, we're throwing all of you in prison. So if the Republicans don't do what's necessary, if there is not, and we are rapidly running out of time, if there is not serious moves made towards securing America, I am not at all comfortable in you know, making the claim that I'm not going to be in prison in the next 10 years. I mean, I don't commit crimes. I don't call for violence. That's not going to stop them. All right. And we've seen what they're going to do. And, you know, if we could go back in time, I wonder, I mean, now that they've been pardoned, I'm sure like the January 6th guys are happy and they, you know, they followed their heart and they trusted in God and it all worked out for them. But like if Trump hadn't gotten elected and they're all sitting in prison for 25 years for a crime that they weren't even present at, you know, in the case of Enrique Tarrio, not even in the same city, but he's thrown in prison for 20 years. Like if we know that that is where this goes, if we know that there could be a time very soon when the FBI is kicking down my door because of something I said on this program, like, I'm not going to let them put me in a box for 20 years. I'm not going to let them throw me in a cage like an animal. I'm just not. So things might get crazy. All I'm saying is, like, within the next 10 years, really within the next, like, year, Republicans have a chance to save us. If they don't, then in the next 10 years, it is an almost a certainty that there will be extreme oppression, extreme tyranny in this country from the left, literally putting us in camps. So strategic, relocation, I don't think is far-fetched in the slightest. I think now is the time to start making those plans because they might be necessary come 2028, which is terrifying. But I really, as I play it out in my head, I don't see the Republicans doing enough. And I see everything that they are doing being half measures that mean that not only is it just going to piss off the left even more, it's going to set precedents and create conditions that make it significantly harder to prevent anything that they want to do. Filibuster is the greatest example. If they eliminate the filibuster and then just don't do anything with it, then all they will have done is just removed a main tool that we would then need to prevent them from, like, authorizing drone strikes in Utah, right? I mean, and if you think that's crazy, I mean, these people are crazy. Like, yeah, it is crazy, but that's who we're dealing with. So I think strategic relocation is a very useful book to have on hand these days. And I'm not saying you have to run away right now, but I think preparations are in order. Thanks for the call, Bregan. Let's go to Rich in Tennessee. Can't rely on Republicans. An understatement, in my opinion, Rich, but a true statement. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Harrison. That was a great lead for what I wanted to talk about. We're dealing with a bunch of vigilantes, really. They could care less about any of the laws or about us or about life or anything. They defy the Supreme Court, and, you know, I agree with you on the filibuster. I think that would be a terrible move. They'd pass all sorts of legislation. But the way you deal with a bunch of vigilantes is with vigilante justice. And what people need to do now is to set up their own local militias and do it with your friends, your family. That way, when this comes about, which it's gonna, because there's been a lot of lip service that's been going on, then no one is going to be above the law or off limits. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, a DA or a judge or a corrupt cop or whatever. We have a constitution that we need to uphold. Everything goes back to what the federal government can't do, which they have a lot of overreach. Should go back to the states or to the people. And that's about where it's come back down to, is we the people.
Yeah.
And my plan is that we the people should start forming our own local militias, and we're going to have to fight like hell. And I know that you're not pushing violence, but you know what? I am, and we're going to have to. I'm an old guy. I've seen a lot. Went through Vietnam. I know what fighting is, and that's what it's going to come down to. Because you're dealing with a bunch of ruthless communists, and nothing is off limits for them. In fact, when you're talking about knives, why don't you bring your little double-edged toad sticker out? I bought a couple of those. They're very nice little fighting knives, actually. They're good and sturdy.
Oh, but our knives are good.
Really
people who know knives, they know these knives. And, yeah, look, you're going to want to be prepared. I've always been in favor of militias. I am never in favor of offensive violence, but absolutely you have a right as an American to join a militia, to be training, to be practicing, to be going out in the woods with your buddies and camping and shooting and hunting and, you know, working on your skills and organizing and getting radios and having code words and having meeting places in case communications go down. These things are absolutely necessary. And just know, like the video that we played earlier of the Muslim guy in New York, you know, just going, this is it, we're taking over, Islam will control all of you. It's like, you know those guys are going to the range, right? Do you know that? Do you know those guys are going to the range? Do you know those guys are stockpiling weapons? Do you know those guys have entire communities that this is what they do every weekend? Are you? Are you getting prepared? Because they are, okay? Are you training? Because they are. Are you in a group of people that will have your backs? Because they do. I pray it doesn't get to that point, but the thing that is preventing violence at this moment is the comfort of the American people, is the fact that you can still go get a cheeseburger at McDonald's, you can still zone out and watch football, you can still ignore everything happening in the world if you really want to. We still have that comfort. We still have the bread and circuses in enough and in sufficient quantity to distract anybody that wants to be distracted. Now, you start talking about the economy really starting to collapse. You start getting hyperinflation and the money supply going the way of the Weimar Republic. When you take away the comforts and the distractions, you're going to get violence. And that could be not very far into the future. Thank you so much for the call, Rich. And I very much agree with you, sir. Thank you. Let's go to Jay in Virginia now. Go ahead, Jay. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm surprised about, I am kind of surprised, but not surprised about how things were voted, because it's kind of BS, because it's like, Well, the Republican Party didn't do, I'm trying to keep my words.
No, that's all right.
I'm not trying to swear.
But, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But you're there in Virginia. Your state just flipped blue. New blue.
Yes,
governor.
And I am. I'm sorry, but I'm really pissed off about that because it's like, all right, we just had an AG that wants to kill, you know, his
Republicans. Yeah.
Yes. And then we have. Yeah, you can say it's like. Well, our governor. Oh, yeah, the trans thing and all that. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Trump put things in there, but other things.
I'm right there with you, Jay. It's like that's why it's hard to do this. It's like, really, you all voted for the guy that wants to kill his enemies. Like, what is there even to say at this point? Like, I can get up here and go, that's bad. But it's like, yeah, obviously it's bad. Like that's the craziest part. Do we really need to tell people that, like, you probably shouldn't vote for the guy to be the top cop in your entire state who will explain in excruciating detail how and why he wants his enemy's children killed in front of them? Like, what the hell is wrong with y'all? So, yeah, I don't know, man. You know, I think a lot of the callers are on the same page I am at this point. And, again, it's not about this being a surprise necessarily. It's just like, okay, you know, if this had gone differently, I might come in here and go, you know, things are going pretty well. Like, if... And, it, you know, it's not a major difference, but, like, if, you know, if Sliwa won and if Jay Jones was rejected, I'd go, okay, all right, people of America are sane. We have, you know, we have a chance here to keep making the argument and keep winning hearts and minds and, you know, succeed into the future. And Trump, you know, the Trump administration might have a little extra time now. Maybe it's not quite the panic, you know, era that I think it is, because the way I'm seeing it, we are exactly 1 year today from the midterm elections, and I don't see Trump doing absolutely anything to either A, satisfy his base, but certainly not grow it to any degree. And I think maybe we underestimated the effect that Kamala had on the 2024 election. You know, now that I look at some of the ways that you had one county in particular, and it's a small one, but it went plus 30 for Trump and then plus 40 for Democrats this time. So in some places in America, you have a 70-point swing between 2024 and 2025. That's 1 year, a 70-point swing. So that's got me thinking, okay, these people didn't even like Trump in the first place. They probably didn't like Republicans in the first place. I think just Kamala was that bad of a candidate. And the whole way they handled it was that bad of a situation that people that otherwise would vote blue 99% of the time just couldn't bring themselves to let Kamala take the reins. So now that I'm looking back, I'm looking at the you know, things that flipped red in 2024 have now flipped back and then some in a single year. I'm looking back and going, okay, 2024 is a fluke because Kamala was just that bad of a candidate. And we can't expect to have the worst candidate ever running against us every single time. That was a very rare occurrence. And of course, you know, Trump was the factor as well that got us over the top. But, you know, Trump needs to not be the only guy in the Republican Party that believes what he believes. And I don't know what the hell is wrong with the other Republicans that they don't see. I mean, they're being given a blueprint to victory. Just say these things, just do these things, and the world is yours, my friend. And they're good things, and they're things you should want to do anyway. And they're the things that you promise to do most of the time. If you just do them, you'll succeed. You will be Trump. You will have love and support and respect from your constituents. Why won't they do it? What the hell is wrong with them? It's crazy, but we can only explain it so many times. We can only lead a horse to water. We can't make it drink. Thank you for the call, Jay. Let's go to Miss Lou in Florida, who says communism is but a process. Go ahead, Miss Lou. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Thank you. I just want to say that communism is the process. It's been planned for decades. You know, the Cloward Piven, you know, the Alinsky, the Marx radicals, Mao, all of it. Communism is a global movement. It is the process. When in the 40s and 50s, it started with the KGB going into the Arab world and working to subvert, Yuri Bezmenov talks about this, to subvert the Arab nations into communism. Then they formed with the Muslim Brotherhood, eventually later on, radical jihad. Okay? This is the CCP. This is Iran. This is Russia. This is all these factions coming together to create a cultural, ideological nightmare that is to destroy the West, because they are completely incompatible. Now, the left is in step by step, lockstep for power. That is it. They live for it. They breathe it. That's it. They will do anything to get it. Soros is just one major example. All the millions of NGOs in this country. We, unfortunately, have been outplayed, outgunned, outfunded, out-think-tanked, all of it. Okay? So we are really in a pickle, and we have got to really get our messaging better. It doesn't make America great again. It's make America America again.
Right.
We are losing what Michael Savage talked about for so long, borders, language, culture.
Wow.
We've got 500 acres in North Carolina that they're building an Indian temple to the war of God, their war god, that's going to be taller than the, Statue of Liberty. Yep. I mean, this is the kind of, Islam is the worry, though. What I wanted to say is communism is the process. Islam is the method. And the reason Americans have never experienced a communist takeover, when you talk to people who've been to Czechoslovakia, who've come here from Russia, who've come here, escaped Venezuela, escaped Cuba, all these people came here because they understood that we were the beacon of freedom and we weren't going to let communism happen, which they had just experienced and lost everything.
Yep. I just read a story. Sorry, we're coming to the end of the show here. I just read a story about a woman who swam 8 hours straight to escape communist China. And who's like in tears because her sons voted for Mamdani. And she's like, what the hell? Like, I literally almost died trying to escape the thing that you just voted for. What the hell is wrong with you? And I'll never forget being in New York City, covering the Laura Loomer Twitter protest, met a woman on the street there. She was from an Eastern European country. And she was literally in tears telling me, thank you. Tell Alex Jones thank you. She was like trying to give me money. She's like handing me cash going, get this to Alex Jones. I'm going, go to the store, lady. But she's like crying, going, Alex is the only one that understands the threat that's coming down. He's the only one that's arguing against communism in the way that he should be. And she was so thankful for that. And that made a very big impact on me. And people don't know. Miss Lou Florida, that was a fantastic call. And I completely agree with what you're saying. Islam is controllable. And that's why they like it. That's why they like communism. It's all about control.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out, probably today, in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for AutoShip, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, /25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.